getting my thing done, taking a long time as usual, and my husband was waiting in the car, and I finally said, well, why don't you come on in and wait? So he came in and sat down, and I've been going to Bethany for about 4 years probably, and she's a believer, so we have a great time when we get together. She ministers to me while I'm in her chair, and I think she uses that as an opportunity. So she came in, Ron came in and sat down, and I was getting, I think I was actually in the getting my hair washed, or rinsed, I should say, you know, from that color stuff. And Sherry's husband walked in, Jay, and her daughter, Abby. And Abby was getting a haircut. And Sherry's husband, Jay, I knew of him. He was an announcer on WETM for many years. And I knew that he was a believer. He left WETM. While he was there, he was studying to be ordained, correct? And he left there and went to Victory Highway Wesleyan Church. And from there, he took another pastor in Maine. He was in the FLN News. You may have heard him on the news there and not realized who he was. So Bethany introduced my husband to her husband. And like I said, we have known had known of each other, but we didn't know each other. So that was the beginning of our contact with Sherry. Little did we know that that would bring her here today. We didn't meet Sherry that day, but when we heard that we were looking for a speaker, my husband said, hey, Jay and I exchanged emails. Why don't we contact him and see if his wife would be willing to speak? So that's how it all happened. So it was definitely a thing that God had us in the right place at the right time, and he wanted you here today, he wanted Sherry here today, and that we're meant to be here together. So Bethany and Christy, if you want to come on up. So you know Bethany. Bethany is here with her two daughters. Christy is from Canton, and they are friends, and they've ministered together in several worship opportunities. So Christy, thank you for coming along tonight with Bethany. And I'm going to introduce Sherry now, too, as well. So when Bethany is done with the music, Sherry will just come right up and share what she has for us tonight. So, Cherie, I'm sorry. I know it's Cherie, and I want to keep saying Sherry. I even appreciated her. She sent me a text, and she even put phonetically how to say it. And I said, thank you. And I knew I was going to mess it up, but it's Cherie. So before we get started, let me introduce her. I had her send me a little biographical sketch, and I'm just going to read it because I wouldn't remember everything that's in it. Cherie Lascolio works as a registered nurse, and that's in a public school. So I think that deserves a round of applause right there. during COVID, for the public school nurses, any nurse in the school, it's been a difficult thing. She's a counselor in this season of her life. Her passion is to instill hope in women, to help guide them through their healing process, and to empower them to overcome what might feel impossible. She's a board-certified mental health coach through the International Board of Christian Care and is a member of the American Association of Christian Counselors. In her spare time, she loves to play with her new dog, Ollie, otherwise known as the Prince. She loves to sip tea while reading books, to bake scones, and is an amateur artist and gardener. She is a grace-laced wife to Jay and coffee-infused mom to Abby and Noah. Cherie is living her best life by the power of grace, by the grace of God, and is passionately pursues living out her healing while walking alongside Jesus. So let's pray before we get started. Lord, we thank you for this night. It's been a long time since we've been together, and we appreciate, Lord, that we are able to come together tonight as women, sisters, daughters, mothers, friends, just women, Lord. We thank you that we have the opportunity to be called daughters of the King. I pray tonight that you would speak to us through Sherry, through our worship time together in music, and that everything that is said and done here this evening would bring glory to your name, first of all, in Jesus' name.
ladies would like to stand for these few songs of worship. We're just going to spend some time giving some praise to the Lord and thanking Him for what He's done for us. Just fix our eyes on Him.
Family. running after me. My life laid down, surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Maybe in times when we don't even know that we're running, that you don't give up on us. You have grace and mercy and love. You are the author of love and grace and mercy. We just commit our hearts to you tonight. We just open up listening ears that you would speak to us. We pray that you'll bless Cherie as she comes and just shares her story. We pray that you'll just give her words to speak, that you will be speaking through. We just commit this time to you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can have a seat.
Can you hear me now?
Whoa, yes you can. Okay.
So, I want to say good afternoon or good evening, but I'm not quite sure what to say. I used to work evening shift, which was 3 to 11, so I think I can say good evening now officially. I do want to quickly say I am not a professional speaker. I've never had any training to do what I'm doing, but I'm being faithful and obedient to what God is asking of me. Just thought I would open things up with a little joke that I heard a comedian say. He said, according to most studies, people's number one fear is public speaking. Number two is death. Death is number two, people. So does that sound right to you? That would mean that the average person would rather be in the casket than doing the eulogy. I just thought that that was funny. That was Seinfeld, by the way. I know that there's probably some things he might do that's inappropriate, but I thought that that was funny. So although this is not my first time being up in front of a large crowd, it really is like, you know, when you get up in front of people, like your heart races and you feel sweaty and you know that your cheeks are like every shade of red. And I actually forget to breathe. So if you see me just like taking in a nice cleansing breath, I'm just, you know, trying to keep my cells oxygenated is all, so I don't fall over. So when this opportunity came, you know, despite feeling really honored, I was like, oh my goodness, like really, they were asking me to come and speak. What an honor. I declined. I was like, Jay, it's not a good time. I just got done sharing part of this story at If Beartown and Painted Post, the church that I grew up in. And I put a lot of time and energy and heart and just my everything into it. And I thought, you know what? I've got some friends. They'd probably do a really amazing job for them. We should probably recommend them. But God started speaking to me, and I just really knew deep down that God wanted me here. So against my better human judgment of myself, I decided to set aside my fear and my excuses, and instead, I've chosen to be obedient to the Lord, like I said, so here I am. And a little disclaimer, right? So if this turns out bad, you can just take it up with him. He can handle it. So all joking aside again, I'm just so grateful for this opportunity. I'm grateful for my husband and my family, my amazing teenage daughter, Abby, who is here with me. She helped clean the house so I could wrap some of this up. I'm just grateful for their support and encouragement that have allowed me to be here today. I am grateful for such a beautiful day. Did you guys enjoy today? It was gorgeous. You guys definitely have the gift of hospitality. Oh my goodness, I felt so loved on. It's just really a treat to be here for me too. And Bethany, where are you at? Oh, there you are. Your worship and Christy, right? Thank you so much for just kind of ushering us into God's presence. I'm just grateful. Again, I'm breathing. So really me and being here is just less, I'm trying to remember, it's really less about me and just more about bringing glory to God for the healing that he has been doing in me and in my family. Whoa, you can even hear me breathing through my nose. Okay. So the thing that God has had on my heart for quite a while now has been connection and healing. And how can we find that for ourselves? Do you guys ever wonder that? As a woman, we have so many roles that we play. But how can we find more fulfillment in our lives and in the roles that we play? How can we learn to walk in the healing and the freedom that the Lord has for us? I feel like we're sort of, we always sing about all these wonderful things that we are in him, but then sometimes our lives don't really measure up to that. Am I right? So I want to make this a little interactive. I'm going to ask you, and just feel free to yell some things out that come to mind. What do you think has been holding you back over these past couple of years from experiencing the connection and the community that you long for? Anyone want to shout anything out that maybe you, I can't hear what you're saying, but you're probably thinking of some things, right? Like maybe some of the things with the pandemic, the isolation, right? All those things that have sort of held us back. And those have certainly been true. But I want to propose an idea to you. Are you ready? I'm proposing that for the majority of people, the one thing holding you back from the connection and fulfillment you long for isn't what you might think that it is. Are you ready? The thing holding you back might actually be you. And that's not a shame or a blame thing, okay? There's no condemnation in Christ, right? But the reason I'm saying this to you is because the thing that was holding me back from the connection and the healing that I could find was me. It's a really vulnerable place to say that. I was standing in my own way. So my husband Jay and I were recently at a pastor's and spouse's retreat, and the pastor giving the message for the weekend said something that I really loved and it stuck with me. I want to share it with you. He said, "Concealment kills, but confession heals." I'll say that again. Concealment kills, but confession heals. He went on to say one of the earliest forms of community in church was they would, number one, gather, and number two, they would sit down and they'd be like, "So, how'd you sin this week?" Like, really? That's what they did. So here, who here with a show of hands can say that they are living that out? How are you sinning, right? So why is it that it's so hard to confess something? How have we gotten away from this? This is what the church started doing. There's no doubt that technology and smartphones have kind of played into this, right? Like they've reshaped our culture, how we connect or how we don't connect, sort of a false connection. They've given us this ability to edit out and filter everything undesirable, right, with one click. I'm guilty as charged here. They just leave you no room to be flawed humans. And can I just mention, like, our kids will never have a bad picture taken of them. Like, I remember pictures from growing up, we have very few. And they're just weird. Like, you got one kid, like, over here, and, like, somebody's, their eyes are up or whatever. I don't know. I just think it's funny that our kids have these picture-perfect pictures. But back to what I'm saying. So we've all been so conditioned by, like, the algorithms of social media that when we share, like, these full-face, beautiful pictures, they're the ones that get promoted more, and we get more likes. So without us even realizing, that's what happens. I thought about that, and I was like, you know what? That should really be countercultural for our soul, because it's in the being flawed and sharing of our struggles with one another. That's really what the Christian journey is supposed to be about. So in order to feel that connectedness, that we all desire to share. We have to confess in our brokenness that we are flawed, imperfect people in need of a Savior. And as we seek Him individually and with those around us, we learn to grow, heal, and transform, and we ultimately become more and more like Jesus. So confession isn't just sharing that you've sinned. Confession is also defined as sharing intimate revelations about a person's private life. I really like that. I'm kind of a word nerd that way. I love looking up definitions and synonyms and all that kind of stuff to just try to get a better understanding. Confession is intimate revelations about a person's private life. So we all need this type of confession to experience connectedness and to have more fulfilling relationships. I'm going to practice this with you right now, okay? And my hope is that after you hear me, that you'll practice this type of confession with someone close to you. So I confess to you that 2020 to 2022 ended up being the most difficult time that I have ever experienced in my life. To paint a bit of a picture for you, in the beginning, I mean, for all of us worldwide, right? It's just the uncertainty of the pandemic. And then also working as a nurse, my mind was going overtime, like, how in the world are we all going to survive? So this has affected all of us. And it was like enough to push us all over the edge, right? Just the news was constantly inundating us with stuff and information and numbers, and it's getting worse and it's getting worse. Not a whole lot of peace. So then we were actually hit with the sudden and unexpected passing of my dad. A sheriff showed up on my doorstep to tell me my dad had passed away. I had gotten home from work. It was like a Monday. And I saw the sheriff out there, and my son Noah, he's 9 now, but he said, "Mom, the sheriff is here. What did you do?" Like as if the sheriff and the police are looking for me all the time. I was like, oh my gosh. Then my mind immediately went to, what did Jay do? turned out neither of us did anything, but I also had in the back of my mind, oh, maybe I've been exposed to someone. They're going to put me on quarantine, right? But the sheriff had said, "Ma'am, I see you've got your son in there, and I need you to come outside. You're not in trouble or anything." And time stood still, you know, when he said the words, you know, "Are you Greg Smurden's daughter?" I don't know if I'm sure that some of you have experienced something like that before in your own life, but I will never forget how traumatizing and shocking that felt. Like, it was like an out-of-body experience. So with the strain of finding this news out and just the grief and all the things that went along with that, it was crazy, guys. We ended up going through like 3 or 4 back-to-back quarantines. I was out of work more than I was in work. Maybe some of you can relate. We were all in the walls of our home, all together, without a break. And it's no wonder that these things just brought out in all of us, in me and in Jay, the healing that we needed personally in our individual lives, but in our marriage as well. So we came to this place where we just weren't going to be able to move forward until we addressed the issue at hand. And we needed help so that we could relate in a healthier way. There was a lot of arguing or like avoidance types of tendencies happening in our everyday lives. We were not connecting, and it seemed like the harder we tried in our own strength, the worse it got. And it got pretty bad. It was a dark, lonely time for sure. I really don't think I've ever felt so frightened and alone. It felt like my whole world was crashing in on me. So not only was the news that I was hearing all the time from the external world terrifying, I felt terrified to be in the walls of my own home, trying to navigate the grief, my dad passing, Jay and I were having problems, just everything sort of all crashing in. We were suffering in just about every way from the stress we were experiencing and in the unhealthy way we kept trying to connect. We weren't sleeping. Oh my gosh, I don't miss that. Jay lost a bunch of weight. I gained weight. He's such a jerk for that. always the guys, they can just lose weight, you know? I always gain weight no matter what. I was actually having low-grade fevers just because of the stress of everything. It's actually like a psychological thing. I had heart palpitations from stress. And, of course, we had COVID, too. My work was being affected for sure. It was just overall a super intense time. And it felt, I knew that we were really committed to each other, but I felt like we weren't going to make it as a married couple or as a family. But here's the good news. God doesn't leave us in our messy stuff. When we surrender it all to him, he truly does come and become our Savior time and time again. It's not like that once crossing the line of faith. It's continually throughout our lives. You know, I firmly believe he allows the crap of life and the negative emotions that come along with it to help propel us toward him. I know sometimes my heart's cry was like, God, why are you allowing this to happen? I'm in misery. This is terrible. And the only real thing that I can come up with is that he just desires relationship with us so much that he allows us to experience the human experience, which does experience heartbreak. And it really allows him to sort of showcase his greatness, doesn't it? And his goodness. So it really took me getting to this desperate place of realizing my greater need for him. And also to take the risk to confess to a few friends how I was feeling and what was really happening in my life and in my marriage and in my family. It felt so risky at the time, but as I look back, what felt so scary to share was not met with judgment or shaming that I thought I might be met with, but instead with compassion and with care. I'm so glad I took the chance and risked it. So, how do we experience connectedness and greater fulfillment in our relationships? You got to be real, vulnerable, and honest with yourself first, and then with God, and then with others. So for me, my experience has been a lot of internal emotional work on my own with a counselor. And sometimes you think, you know what, I've got this thing, I'm going to go to a counselor, and I'm going to like you go to the doctor and you get an antibiotic and you're pretty much better, right? Like, I'm going to go to the counselor and maybe go a couple times and things will be fine. But this has been a journey. Even before these past couple of years that have been so intense, I had started probably 6 years ago, I started seeing a counselor to begin to work on some emotional things. I also had an inner healing and deliverance session that helped bring to the forefront some things that were just sort of like really gripping. I had to learn to put words to my feelings, which kind of sounds like a toddlerish, but it's the truth. It's kind of embarrassing to admit, but I really worked super hard to make sure that everybody was okay all the time. So I didn't really know what I was feeling. I was just running around all the time, trying to keep all the plates spinning and making sure that everybody was okay. But then I was denying myself my own needs and what I needed, right? I don't know if you guys can relate to that. So it's funny, my counselor gave me a pie chart cheat sheet for feelings. They actually have them, and it really works. So you can go to Google if you have some of the same struggles as me and just print that thing out and get it out like your flashcards for math. It's helped me so much. I spent a lot of time reading books by some of my favorite Christian authors, spending time with God and his word when I was able. I really had to learn. It was like fighting myself to learn a new way of doing things, to create those new habits. It was a lot of, like, in the moment when tension was rising between Jay and I could tell we were probably going to have an argument, I had to really learn to ground myself and not say yes or just agree to avoid conflict. This was probably as hard for me. It's still a process. I would equate it to quitting smoking or learning to eat a new diet plan for healthier living. Like, we learn these patterns, you know, as children, and they just are very, very ingrained in us. So it just takes time to walk these things out with the Lord. Jay and I actually ended up going through an 8-week marriage counseling intensive. I don't know if any of you have ever done that or heard much about it, but oh my goodness, tons of work, but tons of fruit. I'm so grateful that we found what they call, it's based out of Virginia, and they're able to do it all online. It's called The Greatest Marriage Ever. They're wonderful. They really taught us tools to recognize where each other are at, and then maybe you don't agree or whatever, but you're acknowledging where that other person is so that person doesn't feel so alone, because that is kind of what brings out the tension and the intensity. So being real, vulnerable, and honest with God hasn't always been easy for me either. We kind of, I think I mentioned it before, like we know the things we should say to God or how our heart maybe should be as living as a Christian. I've felt like at times I've had to say the right things to God. But especially over these past couple of years, the talking with God that I've been having looked a lot more like the Psalms laments. Psalm 6:3 says, "My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long?" I had such a desperation for God to display his mercy, his healing, and to just rescue me, to rescue us. Have any of you ever felt that way? Any of you, could you relate to needing healing, in need of mercy or rescue? And if I'm really truthful, there were many times when it was just too hard to pray. When we were going through some of our most intense things, I was kind of mad at God. But the Bible says that even our tears are prayers, and that they do not go unnoticed by God. The Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. How beautiful. I love that so much. I also found such comfort in worship music. When I didn't know the words to say, to express my feelings, I just let the songs, along with my tears, be my prayers. And I let their scriptural truth soak into my soul and to minister to me. I think probably the greatest trouble I had was being real, vulnerable, and honest with others. I think, you know, being married to a pastor, we're always the people that other people come to for help. So to turn that around, and I don't know, it just isn't wrong. It just didn't feel right because I had never done it before. So that confession piece. And some of this for us sort of happened by chance. Some of it happened with friends we already had because we chose to reach out. It was difficult. But man, confession. It's where it's at, I'm telling you. For more fulfillment in your life. So as I began to share the things that felt so scary to admit that were inside me, I was not met with judgment. Nobody questioned the kind of person I was. I was really wrestling with shame. So the result of confessing to others, people sat with me. They believed me. It looked a little bit like when Jay and I had a flare-up calling a friend while I was on vacation and having her pray with me. They've listened and prayed some more. They've acknowledged and supported. It looked like the day after my dad passing away, waking up in the morning to a broken coffee pot, and I'm like, my dad dies and then my coffee pot. This is not good. So I texted a friend randomly, and I was like, you don't happen to have an extra coffee pot laying around, do you? And she texted back. She's like, yeah, I'll bring it right over. It was like 6:30 in the morning, but I got my coffee, which is really good because I didn't hurt my family because I didn't get my coffee. This looked a lot like people checking in and sending messages. They sat with me and made space for big emotions. They validated my experience. It looked a lot like when we were at our wits' end from quarantine upon quarantine, them coming and dropping off a meal on our porch and then dancing out front and also bringing like some toys for our kids. They brought meals for 2 weeks after my dad died. We had meals delivered during our COVID illnesses. It looked like having the entire meal following my dad's graveside service completely covered for my family. These precious friends were available at just about any time of day or night to come alongside to help bear the weight of our burdens for us. And instead of just a sprinkling of an occasional blessing, it was as if they just carried us through this time. You know, I had prepared some of this for the IF talk and at Beartown, and I didn't really realize until I had laid it all out how much God literally just carried us through the love and care and support of others in that time. It's amazing. But all of this happened because we were willing to confess. We had a need. We were desperate for help. We showed people what was really happening. You know, I'm not saying you necessarily go to the grocery store and tell the cashier your marriage problems or, you know, whatever it might be. But maybe, I don't know, it could bloom into a beautiful friendship. Who knows? So, yeah, confessing to admit the desperate place that we're in and saying, yeah, we're struggling. Please come help hold us up is a beautiful thing. So I'm going out on a limb here. Like I said, this is not I'm married to the pastor. He usually does this kind of stuff. Some of this was from the Beartown thing, but I wanted to just allow God's spirit to work in me to share with you, and I just felt like God was kind of leading me this way. So again, if you're upset about that, you can take that up with him. More than hearing, wow, you were so great, you know, or whatever someone might be able to say after hearing somebody speak, my deepest heart's desire and hope is that I would want to know that I helped you encounter the Lord in a deeper way, and that somehow his presence came in this space so that you could find more healing and freedom in your life. I don't feel any way that me being here today is about me. What I do feel that it's been about is about bringing God the glory for what he's been able to do with a couple of willing hearts. Ladies, God healed my marriage. We are still on our own healing journey as individuals and as a couple. But I can tell you this, he brought us from the depths of what I thought we could not return from. I thought our marriage was dead. But he resurrected it. He is in the resurrection business. I'm going to ask Bethany to come up. And just play some pretty music for us. You know, the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Today, I've shared part of my story with you, and it's not easy to get up in front of everyone, number one, right? That's like everyone's number one fear, is to just even get up in front of everybody. And I don't say this to pat my own self on my back, but I'm standing, and I've confessed. And God says, because of that, I am an overcomer. He has been faithful to meet me. And I know he will be faithful to you as well. I'd just like to invite you, ladies, to take a few moments to pray. I know that you guys are in rows, and maybe this might feel to be a little bit out of your comfort zone, but I'm just going to let God do what he does, okay? I'm going to allow him to stir your hearts. I have no idea. You guys don't know me. I don't know you. I have no idea what you guys have going on in your lives, but I know that some of you are probably struggling with something. And what I'd like to invite you to do, even just right now, if you've ever struggled in your entire life, would you just raise your hand? Right, like everybody. So this puts you into the category of being able to minister to someone else, okay? And of you, all of you, who have risen your hands that have struggled with something, I know that some of you are struggling in this moment with something. Somewhere in the Bible, it says that we are comforted so we can comfort others. So I just want to allow you a little time and space to do that. It may feel like you have to be a little bit more bold or a little bit more brave. And again, I'm not saying that you need to go to your person next to you or whatever and say all the things. I'm just saying, would you be willing to reach over and say, I'm struggling, period. You don't have to say details. Would you pray with me? I think that's a start of a beautiful thing. It's really where more fulfillment in our relationships will come, is really being truthful, real, vulnerable, and honest with ourselves, with God, and with others. And it takes practice, and it feels awkward, and you need to get out like the feelings wheel sheet so you can say what you're feeling. Somebody next to you, get up and go to someone you know who might be struggling, and be weird, be real, be honest, make it awkward, whatever you might need to do, just reach out, let somebody know that you're there. We're going to give you a few minutes to just listen and to pray. Thank you. Ladies, thank you so much for having me. I hope that this little exercise, as awkward or weird as that maybe it felt for me, maybe it did for you too, I just hope that it's the start of something really beautiful in your own journey with God and with those around you. He is faithful. One last little thing I want to say about this healing journey that I've been on is that there is just a marvelous beauty in the coming undone together. It's like the thing that maybe you're trying to keep tucked away and hiding from others is the literal thing that needs to get shared so that you can receive some of the healing that you need. I can tell you for certain, when life feels like it's falling apart, it's actually falling right into place. So I just pray blessing over you all today that this would be the start of a new thing in you and that it would just continue to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.